This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Erin McGowan, certified personal trainer and riding solo today. But you know I got you guys. This is The Dumbbells, a comedy fitness podcast dedicated to bringing you information, motivation, and a little bit of inspiration, babies. Hey, dumbbells, let's get dumb. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, guys, it's me, as you heard. I'm Ryan Solo, but I have a fun, incredible guest who likes to join me when I am riding solo. You guys know her. You love her. She is an actor, photographer, pro swimmer, cuckoo, and frog lover. Oh, my God. Welcome back to the weight room, my good friend Stevie Nelson.
Hootie hoo.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo. Stevie's coming to us just injured, taken down by the man. after you put me through an intense workout. Yeah. And so what a turn of events the last 24 hours have been.
You know, a day is long and holds a lot of different power dynamics. That's what I've learned.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I have Stevie on today. Somebody online was telling me about being pregnant and swimming and that it's incredible. And I was like, I can't imagine putting on a bathing suit at this phase of my pregnancy. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, maybe I should just try. And Stevie has been swimming for a while, maybe the whole time you've been alive.
I don't know. No? I don't know. I don't know what I've been doing with swimming. I've definitely been swimming since I was a child. Yeah, for sure since I was a child.
But you're Southern California born and bred. I'm Pacific Northwest redhead. So we steer clear of pools.
Really? Is that true? Is there a whole part of America that doesn't like pools?
Okay. I will say there's just not very many pools in the Northwest.
Yeah.
That's starters.
That seems true.
And then second, I was redheaded. So then you're getting sunburns. If you're out in the sun.
Redheads get worse sunburns. Yeah?
We just have fair skin. So you gotta lather yourself up.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, you're a kid, you don't want to do
fun.
Anything adults tell
no.
you. No.
Okay, interesting.
And then I was chubby. And, you know, when you're young and you're chubby, you don't want to be in a bathing suit.
No, you want to be in a t-shirt over your bathing suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big ol'. And I was. I would do that if I had. Actually, I was a shorts girl. I would wear shorts.
Okay. Me too. I liked it better anyway.
Because I carried. It was just, I had cellulite young. So, like, I was trying to cover that up.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Aw.
So it was
hard to be a kid.
All of those factors set me up.
Yes.
And also, I did learn young though that swimming, like I wasn't good at diving.
I don't think I've ever.
And
I don't think I've ever made a dive.
That was where
ever.
I learned to be to do comedy.
You learned to do comedy in pools?
No, because instead of, I couldn't dive, so I would just belly flop, and then everyone would laugh, and I was like, I love this power. And so I would belly flop to hurt.
Wow.
I would hurt myself so bad, but I would be like getting big laughs. And so my teacher would be like,
wow.
Okay, that's enough. Come over here. So, you know, it's
rough. Oh, could belly flopping hurt worse? That's the craziest thing to get comedy from. That's the worst feeling. But it does make me laugh to this day. It does make me laugh when people do it.
So.
Sorry to say. Yeah.
So you're a SoCal gal.
SoCal
and
gal.
You're swimming.
I was swimming all growing up. But you know what's sad is like I also had like weird stuff because like I would get ear infections because at the time we didn't know I had an immune deficiency of any kind. So I got back-to-back ear infections. So a lot of the time at like pool parties, which there's tons in SoCal, I'm sitting on the stairs not able to go in the pool.
For fear of ear infection.
So no, because I would always have them.
Oh.
Constantly have them. So I couldn't go in the pool. So I couldn't dunk my head. So I was having to sit out a lot. But however, I took swim lessons as a kid. I love swimming. In college, I took a triathlon class that involved swimming, cycling, and running.
Crap. That's crazy. That
was probably the best. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was cool. And I can't say I'm a good swimmer. I'm not. But I do love swimming as exercise.
I do feel like I should stop here and tell everybody that you have been on this podcast a lot of times. So if you want to get CV's full backstory, I'm talking beginning, middle, end. We have episodes. Type in Stevie Nelson. You will find the way backs. But you haven't been on since you've kind of found all of kind of the root of what's been going on with you, have you?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think I've had the capacity to come on anything. Yeah, this is my first podcast back from the dead.
Okay. So let's, maybe we go, because that's kind of what got you back into swimming, was kind of dipping your toe in.
Yep.
Bom, bom, bom. That's not the sound I meant to make.
That's exactly,
I meant to make the wah, wah.
Yeah. Yeah, dipping the toe in. It's hard to know. Sometimes a sound effect does come out of your mouth and you're like, it's not what I meant, but it is what happens. Yeah, mine are non-traditional. Mine are always non-traditional.
God, man. Okay, my bad. Dip your toe in. Womp womp. So Stevie and I've been training Stevie since what? The beginning of time?
2020,
since the pandemic.
Since you got certified. Yeah. That's crazy.
And I was hesitant because I was... 4 years. Oh, God, I know, but time doesn't matter. I was hesitant to...
Not to me.
...train
Not
you
to
because
me,
you had trained so much in your whole life. And I was like, what am I going to do?
Turns out we found a lot to do, to be honest. Turns out every session we're doing stuff. Yeah, I've been training since I was 14. So there is a level of I know what I'm doing. You know what though, for me, it's about that accountability, baby. Yeah. I have fine technique, but I would never do it without you. I have no need to do that. I'd be like, I'd negotiate with myself every single morning. Every morning I'd wake up and I'd be like, it'd be better if I slept in. I don't need this.
God, I'm going through that right now, actively.
Yeah. I can only imagine. No world where I had a baby in me where I'd be doing shit. I'd be doing
nothing. Just go an hour later is what I've been doing.
I think that's fair. That's fair. That's fair negotiating, in my opinion.
It's not really the only time I can do it in the day, but it, you know, I do wake up and I go, should I just sleep for one more hour? And some days the answer is yeah, 100%. And then other days,
yes, without a doubt,
I get my pregnant ass up.
Crack of the dawn.
Okay, so we started training. You were kicking ass. You got muscles.
Yeah. I was absolutely challenging your other clients. I was strong. I was lean. I was strong. I was ready to fight. I was in tip-top shape. I had quit for all the pandemic. I quit sugar. So I was
just
shredded.
You were. Yeah, I mean, God, what an accomplishment to quit sugar. God. Whew. Impressed.
It's hard. I'm going back to it, actually, just for inflammation purposes. And frankly, it's really easy once you've done it once. You kind of know what to expect, but it's...
You know, it's the emotional turmoil?
Yeah, it stops being there. Yeah, you know the type of adult tantrums you're about to have. But it does stop being there. It's very weird. It's 2 days and you're like, I can do this. Because there's so many alternatives now. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Can we come back to that, though? Because I can feel it in my body that when this baby is out and I have And I say when the baby's out, I know that there's a couple months that you're still kind of fucked up. But when I'm ready to get the nutrition train, I can feel that I will need a little bit of that sugar detox because of I've allowed myself some big allowances, let's say, to use that word twice.
Yeah. Which you should.
Yeah. And so I know when I'm ready to start, like, kind of getting it zoned in. So at the end, let's circle back to that, okay? I'll make a note.
Yeah, let's circle back to, we'll circle back to, like, what it's like to cut sugar and what that looks like and how to do it effectively. Yeah.
Okay, so.
If I even know, honestly. Yes.
So you're shredded. You're double shredded because you don't have sugar.
Shredded.
It's the pandemic. You're vibing. You're living your best life.
It's all I have to do. All I have to do is work out. Like, that's all I have going on. So I'm happy to do it. And I'm doing it. I'm working out. I'm going on multiple walks. I don't even have a car at this point. So I'm walking to get groceries because my car got T-boned by some girl on her phone right when the pandemic started. So I'm just fit as can be.
And then.
Yep. It's cool. And then December 2022 happens. Maybe it was like October through December. Yeah. And then I freaking get sick. And I think my first time was October after I came back from Italy. I just gotten engaged and came back from Italy and got like my first round of illness. Like I got like maybe like RSV and, you know, just things that you're like, I don't know, adults get that. I got RSV paired with the flu type A. I wouldn't recommend.
My God.
Feels like
major God.
Death. Awful. Yeah. Also, you have to be sick enough to go to the doctor with the flu to even know what type you have. You know what I mean? You have to be like, okay, I need to get swabbed for something. Something's up.
Yeah, but we were also being so careful at that point because it was still like COVID was happening, but we had learned to like navigate.
Yes, correct. Yeah, we had figured it out a little, but it wasn't so dire at that point because we'd all been vaccinated, at least if you got vaccinated, which I was. And but basically what happened is I got sick. It wasn't COVID. And then I never stopped getting sick. It was like I would have a day in between a very serious illness. And then like, so I was sick back to back. I would sometimes be well enough to go work for 3 days and then like got sick again. And in December got COVID paired. I was so sick. No one was available. Also, I was so sick. No one can come pick you up. I drove myself to my allergist immunologist because I was feeling so bad. It turned out I had a sinus infection with MRSA. The infection was staph, essentially, which can kill you because it's in your nose and brain, and COVID paired together. So I was in rough shape. My face was like distorted. It was really bad.
Jeez. I mean, the pairings you're coming up with is,
it was horrible. Unheard of. Unprecedented
nightmare. Holy crap.
Yeah. Pairing one of the worst things with another worst thing. Yeah. I ended up in the hospital from that sinus infection because it's so severe. My doctor ended up calling me on Christmas and was like, you have a sinus infection with MRSA. You have to get these antibiotics right now. Like it's like, and there's one antibiotic that can solve it because you have to swab it because it's so bad. It just was like a literal nightmare. That was Christmas Day. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
And so I keep getting sick. I get everything that anyone has. I'll get a cold. I'll get whatever. I'll get the most severe things. I mean, I didn't even get better from that for like a full month. But it was a fluke, Aaron. It was an absolute fluke that who I went to in December was an immunologist because I didn't know of anyone who, I didn't know of anything. I didn't know anything was going on with my body. I just knew I was like severely ill. And he was like, something's wrong with your immune system. I know you have to go get blood work. But Aaron, I was in so much pain when I ended up there. Oh my God, I forgot about this story. I was in so much pain. I think I told you this, that I was in the waiting room with a mask on because who knows what I had, right? This is like sinus infection and COVID at this time. I'm in the waiting room and a person goes into so it's an allergist immunologist, goes into the waiting room, looks at me. I'm not even coherent, honestly. I'm kind of like not knowing what's going on. Looks at me and leaves the waiting room, okay? And then I hear the phone ringing in the office. And it was the guy who came into the waiting room and he said, I don't want to be in the waiting room with a homeless woman. And he was talking about me.
Okay. That's a lot to unpack. Okay.
It's all awful and horrible. But I looked so sick that he didn't want to be in the room with me, and also assumed because my hair wasn't brushed and probably because I was like in pajamas, also assumed I don't have a home, which is wild. Wow. But yeah, I've never, and then they put me in a room immediately. They put me in a room immediately.
Oh my God. You just kind of answered everyone's question, like how to get to see the doctor faster. Like just.
Look unhoused. Absolutely your most tattered self. Yeah, look unhoused as can be, whatever that means. It's also such a weird thing, like, to be like, to assume that someone's, to assume I was sick was fair, right? Yeah. Really sick. But then to be like, for some reason, needing to throw in homeless is so
unnecessary.
Weird.
And
you're mean.
Like,
you're mean.
Because listen, I couldn't understand the sick part, like you said, like, but he didn't say sick.
No, well, he said that sick. He said sick.
Sick and homeless.
Yeah,
okay.
It was just like.
All right, he's a real treat. Yeah, do you think you could sketch his
was a deadly combo
face from
here.
Memory so we could get.
Honestly, if we did a lineup, I would say all of them are it. I have no idea. I have no memory of that day.
Oh my gosh.
except for the valet guy, except for the only memory I have is the valet guy was so sweet to me. I got out of the car crying because I felt so bad, right? I felt so sick. I got out of the car crying and he hugged me, the valet guy. And I'm also like, I probably gave him COVID. He was so nice to me.
He's the opposite of the guy, the other guy. Wow.
Yeah, I had a real dichotomous experience that day. Anyway, all
well,
of that
I, really
to say,
quick, I was just yes. going to say, like, I remember during this time, like, you were never a client that canceled. Like, even if you weren't feeling good, even if you were having, like, lower energy days.
I would show up with, like, a migraine usually.
You would tell me and I would be like, okay, well, then we'll plan, like, to do a stretching day or foam rolling or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you did, like, to keep the habit and that like time slot for something physical related. And so during this time, like I remember you, I just didn't see you for like 6 weeks,
months.
Like, and we would talk or text and it would be like, we like had a plan that was like, hey, I'll just check in and you let me know. Yeah.
Every morning.
And if you feel good one day,
we had a check-in. Yep. And it was so rare that I ever did, honestly. I never felt okay. And and it was like, and then there was just like aftermath of stuff. It was like, as I was getting this like immunology testing, right? My immune system, my immunologist was like, your immune system's wonky. We're going to test it. So that same day I went and got testing done, feeling horrible, right? And it like, and then with that testing, you go month after month and then you get like a pneumovax test. And if you fail that, then they diagnose you with something. But basically through that whole time, it was like October through March, I was so ill. And then I started suffering from, I don't suffer from them anymore, thank God, but I started suffering from migraines, I think post-COVID. So I started having like random migraines. It was just like, it was so much stuff and vomiting. It was a lot of, I was vomiting all the time. Like it was just like,
God.
It was every illness that you're like, when you have it, you're like, just kill me, take me out. I don't care. It was every illness paired together. I think I had gone to the, I don't even know. I had gone to the doctor so many times. It was like, it was unbelievable. Sometimes when I talk about it, I'm like, that couldn't have happened. Like that experience couldn't have happened.
Yeah. And it did. And you survived it. And God, that the, it's like the human spirit does like, cause it, I mean, it really does take it out of you. Like, you know, I didn't experience what Jason experienced when he had his accident. The second one where we were actually together and I was having to kind of help him through it.
Yeah.
But him, I mean, he was at the doctor a million times. his spirits were low. He couldn't do things like he used to. Like, he had to rebuild his whole life. Yep. And, like, then I'm seeing you go through the same thing and having it be, like, same but different. And, like, just watching you, like, yeah. work so hard to get to a certain point and then seeing that kind of, like, be taken away from you by circumstances outside of your control. And
yeah,
seeing you and then getting to see you kind of learn, figure out what's going on with your body, your perseverance through that was like, that can take someone down or it makes someone stronger. And it did make you stronger and mentally, emotionally. Oh, and then you. Now you're also getting to actually be physically now stronger too, but God, it's taken long time. Yeah.
A year. Yeah. It's taken like it's so wild. I think you're one of the only people besides, Logan, who has seen it up close too. You know, I think a lot of my friends have ideas of like what happened, but I think because you were checking in on me like almost daily, being like, hey, are you feeling okay enough to work out? Because we were checking in because of our schedule. I feel like you had like an up close, maybe like you, Paige, and Logan had like a very up close view of what this was like. And I think the average person doesn't, right? Like the average friend of mine just knew I kind of struggled a little bit. Like it's, which is so interesting because it's like, I had this like experience, almost very isolating experience. And I didn't really want to be very public about it because what are you going to do? Post on social media every day that you feel like the worst you've ever felt in your life? Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's like, it's such a weird, you can't check in. I think there were like months where I didn't call anyone for like 3 months. Like, I was just like, I fell off the grid. But yeah, I've had the experience of like coming back from, I think it's the thinnest I've ever been too. With that much vomiting and that much wasting and that much staying in bed and not being able to eat, or when I do, it's minimal. I don't think I've ever been that thin in my entire life as an adult. And it's funny, it's interesting because it's hard to be like boo-hoo for someone who's like, I was so skinny. And you know, when you talk to the average person too about getting sick, like everyone makes like light of like when you get the stomach flu, they're like, I'm one stomach flu away from fitting in my dresses. You know, like there's this glorification of illness because it makes you so thin. But like the reality of illness and being non-functionally thin is that it hurts to take walks. I couldn't lift 5-pound weights when we started again. When did we start back up? Like maybe like when I started getting treatment, like March.
God, a year ago.
A year ago now. And I do want to say this in case anyone, you know, in case anyone's like listening to this and they're like, it sounds like me. This is a very rare disease. You probably don't have it. It's called hypogammaglobulinemia, and there's multiple versions of it, but like the chances of you having it are slim to none. But if it does sound like something you have, you can go to an immunologist and get tested for it. I started building back up in March, but I could barely go on a walk in March, Aaron.
Yep.
I would text you and be like, I walked a block. Like my legs were, I've never seen my legs look like
that. And you have a flight of stairs to get in and out of your house too. So it's like bare minimum, you're doing a flight of stairs after you've been pretty much like homebound for
bed rusted. Yeah.
I mean, a year, like, I don't know if it's like, a long time.
I basically didn't start. Yeah, I didn't start feeling okay. I didn't stop throwing up until July. So it was October through July, basically. So Yeah, it's so wild. I was put to sleep twice for procedures. Like, it was so much. But I gotta say, the body's resilient. The body is so resilient. It's insane. And the mind is too, like, oddly. Like, both are so resilient. I stayed in therapy the whole time. Yeah, I'll say that too. Because my mental space was bad. I was just crying all the time. I would just cry after everything. It was such a horrible, horrible experience.
Well, having that kind of day in, day out, and if anyone is listening to this too, that is going through something like this heavy physically in terms of like your body isn't cooperating.
Great use of that word.
If your body's not cooperating and you're just like desperately trying to figure out what's going on, or you figured out what's going on and it's still just like you're not quote unquote back to where you are, is like that ability to literally take a day at a time. Like you're in the movie, like you're Drew Barrymore in the movie 50 First Dates, and you just erase the day before and you proceed with the day as is.
Yep.
And you don't.
Yeah.
Because that's what we, Jason and I have had to do with my pregnancy. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing that and saying to myself, this is temporary. This is temporary. And we will, it may never look the same, but this is temporary. And
yes,
and I know we talked about that.
That's the key. I actually think,
cause when you got your diagnosis, you know, you finally had answers, but it also came with a life sentence in a way.
Horrible grief. Yeah. It majorly did. Yeah. I get an infusion once a month. That's at a cancer center. Basically, right? I go and get infusions where people are getting chemo, and I'm hooked up to a machine for 4 hours getting other people's plasma so that I have a normal immune system, basically, which you have to do for the rest of your life once a month. So yeah, hearing that, hearing I'm going to have to go to the doctor at my best year, even if nothing else happens to me, which doesn't include like eye doctor, gyno, dentist, right? My best year, I'm at the doctor 12 times, without a doubt.
Yep.
And like, here's the thing too, that that was heavy by itself. That diagnosis, I was like, that hit me hard. And our friend, George, said to me, just like everything, it will be weird until it becomes normal. Mm. And that has proven to be true. Like, it was weird and it was awful and it was hard. And the first few infusions, I was still throwing up. I was still vomiting, like things like that. And it's become pretty normal. I'm not saying my health is perfect, but I will say I'm not experiencing getting ill every month, multiple times at this point. And, you know, still doing some medical testing and stuff like that. But like, my God, my quality of life, night and day. And I do think if you take things one day at a time, I was actually talking about this in therapy today. I was saying that like everything is manageable one day at a time, actually. Like even if you're having a bad day and you're not feeling the best, like I still have days where I have like a lot of fatigue and I'm like, that's okay for today. I rest, right? Like for today, I relax. For today, I can't work out. And that seems manageable day by day, actually, when you take it just one tiny day at a time, because that's all we really have anyway.
I mean,
whether you're sick or not, you know,
I almost said amen, but I think I said amen a bunch in the last, interview I did, and I'm going to get, you know, put in an interview.
Maybe we could come up with something. Yeah. Yeah.
Her you're in a, chef.
Isn't that weird when you start hearing your own voice and you're like, I only say amen 17 times per podcast episode. You start hearing phrases also you've never said, and you're like, I don't say that.
I've never said that. I'm just trying out new phrases and I can't.
You know when I'm just out of my own body when I'm saying that's a no for me, dog. And you're just like, what? What's happening?
You know, somewhere you had left your body and you're floating above going, no.
Bye-bye. I'm doing it again.
Oh, my God.
It's good.
Stevie, well, I definitely appreciate you sharing it. Your story, because while it is a rare disease.
Yeah.
Chronic illness is absolutely not rare. And, you know, I would say we get a lot of emails about like chronic pain and, people kind of like trying to figure out how to manage, you know, keeping a healthy body while not being able to feel like consistent in it.
Yes. Cause you can't stay consistent if your pain is consistent, right? Like, it's like, you can't, not everyone has, like, there's so many types of chronic illnesses and autoimmune diseases that the flare-ups are months long. And, you know, I will say this, I did not understand chronic illness until this happened to me. You really feel seen when other people have it, because they're like, oh, yeah. Because there's just a mental aspect that comes along with that that you can't explain. You're just like, your mental health just tanks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're running a marathon you did not sign up for.
Yeah. And let me tell you, even if I could, I wouldn't sign up for any marathons in life. I wouldn't sign. I don't want to run a marathon. I have no interest. There are two types of
walk a marathon, run marathons. CV. Think about it. Think about it.
Marathon's 26-something miles. Yeah, I'd be open. Yeah. I'd be open. I'd walk a marathon with you over like a few state lines or something. Would it take a few state lines? Would it just be like the state of California? How long is a marathon?
It's 26. So 26.2. So maybe Rhode Island's that big.
Maybe. I love that. Jersey? I thought it was across states. I love that. I was like, we're going to walk a few states.
You can walk across miles? A state line. Like,
yeah. If you dropped us off in Vegas, maybe.
The little guys
maybe
over.
Maybe we should go do a walking marathon in Rhode Island.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. How about this? Okay. We have a car and we do our own marathon where we just.
Yes.
Get to like a new, like 3 miles out from a state line. Then we walk 3 miles, then we walk back 3 miles, and then we go to the next state. Like, but they're all close. They're all over in the little northeast area.
Okay. And if we walk like a 15-minute mile, like we're walking fast, okay? We're like walking like a 15, we're walking at like 3.8 speed, and there's 26 miles. How long does that take us?
Let's see.
This is 15. If you pass 26. This, you can pass the SATs.
Oops. 15 times 26.
26.
390 minutes. Okay, divided by 60. That's 6.5 hours. Or 6.5 hours. Yeah, 6.5 hours. Okay.
Wait.
That's totally
doable. Don't people run it in that?
No, people run it
in 3. Am I delusional that... Oh.
3, okay, 4. So, I mean, I would run it in 6, sure. Because I'd be walking.
I would run it in exactly how long I'm walking it. So it'd be about 6.5 to 8 hours, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, we could do that. Walk all day, baby. Walk all day.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Actually,
let's I
do want to walk a marathon now.
Yeah, I think we would still want to train because, you know, you just want to make sure you're not going to, you know, shit your pants out there, but.
Yeah, I would train. I think the most I've walked in a day is like 10 miles. So yeah, I would need to train. Just elevating my hand above my head.
That's okay. You gotta do what you gotta do. I am wearing compression gloves. So we're the hand crew right now.
We're the hand crew. Do people watch this? Is this
viewable? I didn't record it today. I went through caution to the wind.
Okay, good. I'm like, let's pray it's not, because I didn't need to narrate this. I didn't need to tell everyone about my hand above my head then. I could have just kept going.
So Stevie, let's talk about where you're at now with the gym. And this is my way to guide you into talking about how you became my swim trainer.
Oh my God. Okay. Here's where we're at. Here's where we're at now. I slowly started training, right?
Yes.
I started training back with you, and I was able to be more consistent. I probably started back in June. So I've been training for about a little under a year. And as a gift to myself at the beginning of the year, like everyone and their mamas, I gifted myself a gym membership. But not just any gym membership. Equinox. And the reason I did Equinox is because... Because it's close to my house. And it has such a nice pool. And my thought process was this, and a steam room. My thought process was this. I cannot stay consistent with ClassPass. I cannot stay consistent with anything. If you give me too many options, I ain't doing any of the options. And I will describe myself as a pretty motivated, disciplined person, and yet I'm still like that. Like, give me ClassPass, and I'm like, I spend 2 hours deciding which Pilates class to do, only to not do it. which is like the epitome of obnoxious. I'm like, I'm just wasting my own time at that point. So I joined the gym, and my thought was, I'm going to swim because I have no muscle at this point, right? I am void of body shape. I am a haunting shadow. And I decide to put a bathing suit on and swim.
I'm not laughing. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful, hilarious imagery.
Yeah. I'm an empty vessel. Good. Yeah. So I start swimming. And what I started doing was I just started swimming at Equinox. Also, I was started a little bit before this, but it was premature. I think I thought I was going to feel better last year, like after treatment. And then I think I had joined for like 3 months last year. And then was like, oh, this is, I'm still not stable. So I came back to it. So I started the gym and I've been swimming. And crazy enough, I will say this, I feel like it's one of the most healing experiences of my entire life. Like, I'd use the paddleboard a lot of the days. I don't even fully swim. I'm straight just kicking. I'm kicking across the pool with the paddleboard. Which also makes you feel like a child in a good way. You know, you're just like, I'm just kicking. I'm just doing my kicks for today.
I'm just kicking. Yeah.
I'm just kicking. And that's what I made you do yesterday. I made you come with me to the frickin' gym. Mm-hmm. Throw on a swimsuit. And we kicked. We kicked.
We kicked. And okay, so from me getting to be trained for the first time with Stevie as my swim trainer.
Yeah.
I like a pool party. I like a pool float. I like to do my jumps, my cannonballs, my belly flops when I'm not pregnant. Calm down, everyone.
You're doing pregnant belly flops.
My kid is gonna be fucked up.
Cuckoo.
No. I've seen. Like at LA Fitness that I go to, there is a pool and I see people in there doing their thing. And I'm like, good for you. I'm going to my treadmill. I'm going to the elliptical.
Yeah. I never. So much hassle to do the swim thing.
Yes. And so there was like a part of me that just was like, okay, what do you do when you get into the, okay, let's say you're going to do this. You're going to bring a swimsuit to the gym and you're going to do this damn thing. What
do you do?
What do you do? How long do you do it?
Especially if you're not a swimmer, right? Like, I think there's like this weird intimidation thing about swimming where when you hear that someone's like swimming for exercise, like we have a thing in our mind, right? That people are like, they are treading laps. They are swimming butterfly stroke. They are, and some people are in that pool, right?
Sure, yeah.
But there's other options for exercising in the pool. Like, when I grew up and did like the thing when I was 14, sometimes on hot days, we would have pool workouts. And there were actually, we'd like do like exercises in the pool. And like, it's almost like pool aerobics, right? That's also an option. There's so many options for working out in the pool that don't require you to be a great swimmer that are still really good exercises. And I found that for myself by just going to the pool and just taking off the intimidation factor, knowing like no one cares what you do in that pool.
Yeah, it really was. And so for me, having like you kind of take me through, like, so we did paddleboard, like kicks. So we're holding onto the paddleboard, kicking down the, I feel like it's half of the length of an Olympic size. Or do you think it's length of Olympic size?
No, it's half. I think it's half. Logan always says it's like 50 meters or something, but I don't know what that means. Or maybe he doesn't say that. I'm not sure. He talks about meters a lot in swimming. Swimmers talk about meters.
Just tell him we're American and we don't know what he's talking about.
We get that you're in swimming nation, but we don't understand what you're talking about. I think it's about half the size of an Olympic pool. We don't get it and we will never know, but I had I had some of what we were doing yesterday. I did it, yeah, when we were in the pool. That's what my swim coach for college, for the triathlon, would have us do. So you would train your basic, what we're basically doing was building up to swim. So it's like you're building your muscles up to be able to swim longer distances. So focusing on the legs. And then there's a version where you can like just focus on the arms and you can put like a thing between your legs so you can focus on the arms and stuff like that. So like we were just training to be able to swim. Mm.
I don't want to do that one. Whatever one you're talking about. I don't want to do that arm one.
No, that one feels crazy. That one feels like you're going to sink.
Yeah, that one sounds like you're going to like... You're training for like if you're in a water landing in an airplane and there is an airplane going over me right now. And that is what I'm thinking about.
No, thanks. No okay, emergency landings.
So we did the paddleboard. I tried to do some butterfly leg paddleboards. That was interesting. It felt really good on my hips. A lot slower though. Wow. A lot slower. And then we did some doggy paddle. I almost said doggy style.
Whoa, I was like, we didn't. Yeah, doggy paddling. We did some little paddling in there, which is really fun. And we did some walking through the pool, which I find really fun. Like kind of like running through the pool and then like side, what would you call that? Side lunges through the pool almost?
Yeah, side lunge, side shuffle. Step. Side shuffle, yes. I'd call it side shuffle.
Yeah, but mostly paddling. And then I just go up to 20 now. But when I first started, I could only do 4.
Damn. I mean, okay, when I got my heart rate up to... I don't know that it was ever fully 160, but it was, like, in the 150s. It was, like, 130 to 150.
Immediately.
It was high. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was taking breaks so that I could... But it felt like... It didn't feel bad, it didn't feel bad like I'm doing sprints. It just was it felt so good on my joints. It felt so good on my belly. Like, other than I did feel like I was very top heavy, which I guess technically I am right now. do you know who Gru is from Despicable Me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jason took a picture of me the other day. I was wearing, like, this, like, gray bodysuit with black socks and a black hoodie, like, an oversized hoodie.
That's very funny. Yeah.
And he sent the photo to me. And it was, like, the angle made my nose look like his nose a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'm in my Gru era. And now that's all I can see is because, like, my pants are stopping, like, right in the middle of my belly now.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyways.
Sure. Why not?
That's what, as I got out of the pool, I felt my weight come back to me. And I was like, just so heavy again, back to Gru, back to just like feeling like every step hurts. But in the pool, I felt like a young prince. I was skipping through the fields.
Yes.
I had not a care in the world. It felt amazing.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Swimming feel, I mean, I can only imagine what it feels like to swim and be pregnant. Like, this has got to feel like so much pressure off your body. But even like for me, who's not with child, I get in that pool and I feel like I'm flying. I'm like, I'm fast. I'm flying. I can do anything. It makes me feel like anything's possible. I feel so good when I'm swimming. I feel so good. It feels incredible on the body.
Yeah. And then you got to do the sauna afterward, which I didn't do because I don't think you can. Pregnant. So I just took a great hot shower and I felt like a new person myself at the end of this.
Yeah. I will say something about like the swimming, the smell of the chlorine and then the steam room and then a nice hot shower that has like good water pressure. I got to say, it feels like you're on vacation. Sometimes we'll chill you out so much that you're like, I shouldn't have done that before a work day. Like, I'm too chill.
I know. I had to go meet my actual personal trainer after that. And thankfully, I'm in my third trimester and she's clued into that. And we did a lot of stretching.
Yeah, good.
But yeah. Oh my God, I was like, I was freshly showered, which was stupid anyway, but I was like freshly showered, so relaxed.
Yeah.
And then showed up at a kickboxing gym and
casually, as if you've been to a spa all day, and she's just like, yeah. What are you doing? What is this vibe? Did you just get a massage or something? That's what it feels like. It feels like you're like, I just got a 4-hour massage. Yeah, it does, right? Swimming feels so good. It's a little more like, I'll say this. It's a little more intensive than like if you go to the gym, you shower when you get home. It's no big deal. But when you're swimming, it's like you have to go shower at the gym because you're getting the chlorine off. It's a little more, has a little more to do behind it, right? Like, and I think that's why people are discouraged by that and they don't know what to do in the pool. But honestly, man, you do almost nothing in the pool and you're still getting a workout.
Yeah, you're right. They're like, I had to pack a bag. You got to bring like separate shoes, like shower shoes. Yep. It is a to-do. And the nice thing is that you feel like $1 million afterward. So then it starts to feel
worth it.
Worth it.
I think it's worth it. I think it's so worth it.
I went and looked at LA Fitness today to see if they had the paddle boards. They do. Yeah,
do they? Oh, good.
They do. And they have, like, water dumbbells.
Oh, that's fun.
I know. I was like, I saw a woman, like, opening this, like, cabinet, and I was like, oh, what's that over there? And she pulled out, like, they're, like, plastic dumbbells.
Whoa. Okay, I've seen those. I haven't seen them at our gym, but there's also this weird one, too, that's a cylinder that has two hand compartments and it's empty, and you push it down into the water and put it up.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
There's like a barbell version of that. Me neither. We should do that next time. We should do some, like, weight training in the pool.
I definitely want to try. Like, I thought, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, because do you... I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll look and see what people are talking about on YouTube.
I think it's on YouTube. And it's like, I think you can find anything like a quick swim workout on YouTube. But I think it's like pretty simple. Like you can actually like just do stationary stuff in the pool. I was watching,
yeah,
I watched this couple that comes.
The water.
Yeah. I watch this couple that comes like every week at the same time. And they do that kind of like activity together. And it seems like the woman hates it. The man's leading her and the woman freaking hates it. I want to tell her she can get out. If she needs to get out, she can get out.
Write her a note. If you see her in the locker room, you got her by herself. You could tell her.
Yeah, that's exactly what women like that when you approach them in the locker room and you're like, hey.
Oh my God. Okay, though, I will say I revert back to my childhood so fast in a locker room. Like, so in my school, in the fourth grade, you took, like, a bus to the high school pool, and you took swimming lessons. And you weren't supposed to wear your bathing suit all day and then get on the bus and go into this pool.
Yes.
But yes. I would anyways. And I was the only kid that would do it. And I was always the first kid waiting. Like I was ready, but I didn't want anyone to see me, to see my body. So that was like my plan was like, I'll be the first one out there. And if I sat, then no one could see my cellulite on the back of my legs. That was like this whole plan I had.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yesterday I was like, well, I guess I could just wear my swimsuit to Equinox. And then just like bring clothes to change into. And I was like, Aaron, you don't need to do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, She's still in there.
Yeah. I get it. And I also think like it's taken me a while to get used to changing in there.
Yeah.
It's taken me a while. It's interesting because like while you went to that school, I didn't go to a school where you change into anything. I think maybe in high school you change into your gym clothes, but you never had to be naked. Like you put you can keep your underwear and stuff on. Like when you're putting a bathing suit on, you have to like strip down.
Yeah.
And it took me a full month of doing it to feel kind of comfortable with it. And like, to be honest, I'm still not fully comfortable with it, but I make myself do it because I'm like, it's a body. It's natural. I don't mind when anyone else does it. Like when I see women like in the locker room walking around naked, I think it's like amazing that they feel comfortable doing that. And yeah. I try to essentially practice that. Like I can't get to that point, but I totally get it. There's a part of you that's like, I got so good in the locker room at changing while keeping a towel on when I was in high school that I still will do that on occasion. I'll like pull up my pants with the towel on. I'll put my shirt on. The towel will still be on me. And it's like, you'll do anything not to expose your body because you just don't want to get made fun of or something. Like, or because you're self-conscious or whatever. Like, I don't know if anyone's making fun of bodies, but like, it's crazy. It's crazy because I'm like, a full-blown adult now, and I'm like it's taken me till now to be kind of comfortable with like changing in front of other women.
God, and I'm like, I'm about to give birth. You're about to get comfortable, bitch.
Yeah, you're about to get real comfy. Maybe that's what'll shift it for you, actually.
I think it might. Yeah.
Yeah, where now you won't care who sees what, and you're like,
yeah,
swab it, take it, I don't care. Enjoy.
It's so true. It's so true. God.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm really grateful. Oh, this is something else. Like, you know, when you were like, let's do this 20 times, that was the first time that I was like, oh, that's how you count. Like when you're on a treadmill, you count like, do I want to do time or like distance?
Yeah.
And like in a pool, like I've never had any frame of reference. I'm just like, you just swim?
And yeah, it seems like they're swimming endlessly. Yeah, it seems like they're, it seems like what they're doing, at least from the outside, right? When you were watching people, and no one was in the pool when we were in it. So that's also kind of a weird experience.
Yeah.
But when you're watching people normally, it seems like they have a plan, but it also seems like they're endlessly, it seems like they might be swimming till they get tired. And maybe they are, and maybe they're not. But like, I like to have a number in mind. I like to have like a number where I'm like, oh, maybe I can beat this number today, or I'm going to do the same number I did last time or whatever. But yeah, it does seem like people are just but that also is maybe because we're like, we don't do it. But it's like when we are on a treadmill, we're not assuming people are on it endlessly.
I'm sorry, I lost you.
You did, yeah.
But the audience will hear everything you said, which is beautiful. But
I think we both just paused, to be honest. I think it felt like one big pause.
No, but I do like, there is something, that was something nice about you giving me permission to be like, we're going back and forth 20 times. And I'm like, heard. I got it. Let's do it. And I don't know how long we were in there. I don't know how many quote unquote calories I burned. You know what I do is that my body felt amazing. And I also got my heart rate high and I was able to do that without feeling the, an impact on my body that I wasn't okay with. And that for me, who's kind of easily obsessed with numbers and like, how many steps did I get today? How many?
Yeah.
XYZ.
I love to track shit. Yeah.
Yeah. A big tracker.
And you can't really track it.
Yeah. I took my watch off and I swam and I counted my heart rate the old fashioned way. And
it's kind of cool. And then cool, I did make it,
you give me your Fitbit so I could really see what it said. But
yeah. Because you can dunk her. You can dunk that Fitbit.
Like, I want to make sure I'm not
going over.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, you're just like, you just want to make sure your heart rate's not too high. Like, you're like, right,
exactly.
You want to just check to make sure you're not like doing something that's damaging at that point.
Right, exactly.
I think there's something kind of freeing about being in a pool. And also that it's like the one workout. Like, I see people like put headphones in that are like waterproof and stuff like that. But for the most part, you're just listening to your own breathing. Like you're silent for the most part. It's like kind of a very peaceful, introspective workout, which I really like too. But yeah, hard to track if you only have like what we have, but like, I think there's something kind of amazing about just trusting that it's like doing what you need it to do.
Yeah. I'm a swim fan, as they say. Swim fan, cuckoo.
I reference that movie so many times. I think I've seen it once, and I just know the premise is like it was a stalker, and that's it.
Oh yeah, I saw that movie in theaters, and I was young enough and naive enough that I didn't And by young, listen, I'm a late bloomer. All right. I didn't kiss 18. Anybody till I was 18. Like 24. All right. Yeah. So like I, saw that movie and didn't, had to ask my friend, did they just have sex in the pool? Like, what was that? Like, what was that scene? Yeah. And my friend was like, yeah. And I was like,
she's like, no, right. No kidding. Yeah, your friend is a mean girl. Yeah, they had sex. What's it to you?
Yeah. So, but yeah, she was a stalker. And that's all I think I remember too. But the guy was cute. I remember thinking he was cute.
Me too. I remember thinking that same thing. I remember thinking he's cute and I get why he's being stalked, which is bad, bad thought process.
I mean, terrible. I'm looking into where he lives too. So, hey, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's a swim fan, I guess.
I did try to find where Jeremy Renner lived when I first moved to Los Angeles. So
any info?
No, I heard like one of the things you hear is like when you move to LA, like jog in rich neighborhoods, because then you'll maybe get a rich husband. And I didn't do that. But I did.
Yeah, me neither.
I did like walk around where he might have lived at some point.
Okay.
And I didn't see him. So I moved on.
Well, it's never too late to start that.
Start it. Try again.
It's never too late to try again.
With my big ass pregnant belly, my Gru era, walking past Jeremy Renner. What's up?
Hey, it's me, Gru. Come on over.
Me, your boy, Gru.
You come over with your gloves on, your compression gloves.
I struggle with this whole era business everybody's doing. Especially because I'm about to be a mom. It's like everyone has like in my mom era everywhere. When I realized I finally found my era and that it was Gru, I was like, I found it. I found it. I can put that on a shirt and just be done. Yeah. You know?
I think so. Yeah. I think the era thing is like, I give it another month before no one says it anymore, you know, because it's where I think we've exhausted it. But when it first came out, I just kept telling people I was in my victim era because I just feel I feel like that's like an era for most people at some point. And it's like not glamorous. It's not cool.
It's no one wants to say that they're in it. No. Yeah. No. I love that.
It's also not true, but I love it. I would just kind of mock it by saying I'm in my victim era.
I feel similarly with Gru. Like no one wants to be Gru, but I am. And I know it's only for a time, but it is popping.
Yeah, it's popping and you're in it. The thing about an era is you might be in a different era after this.
Yep. God bless. Well,
I hope Stevie, it's still a cartoon.
It will be. Have you met me? Stevie, where can people find you online in real life?
No. In real life, I'm not telling you. You have to swim fan me. You can find me at the gym swimming.
Hell yeah.
Online, I'm on Instagram. I am Stevie Nelson. I used to be on Twitter or X or whatever you call it, and I bowed out because I don't have time for that. Yeah. I became an adult, I think is what happened. I was like, I'm an adult. I don't do this anymore.
You want to plug your photography account?
Hold on one second. My dogs are having a fight.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Did you hear that?
I heard a tiny bit, yeah.
Okay.
You don't have
to. We could maybe edit. Maybe we could edit that out.
Stevie, we're all natural. All natural.
Oh, wow. So that whole thing will be on there. Okay, even better. Well, then if you, I hope you love that dog fight. My photography website is my God-given name, StephanieNelsonPhotography.com. I mostly do headshots and portraits and stuff. And I love it. And I've been doing too much of it. And I'm tired. okay? I'm tired.
Amen.
But yeah, that's where you can find me. Mostly you can't find me. Mostly I'm in hibernation now.
You know what? If you listen to the last hour, you'll understand why.
Yeah, if you listen to that at all, you'll understand why I just bowed out of society. Where can you find me? Nowhere. Literally, no parties, nowhere.
I guess on the streets if you're listening to that one guy in the freaking office.
Oh, yeah, that horrible guy who couldn't just stand being in the same room as me. Honestly, good on him, though, because he probably spared himself from getting COVID because I did have COVID.
Let's not give
good thing
him
he was
credit.
So awful. Good thing he was so terrible.
Good thing.
Yeah, no, he gets no credit.
Well, if you guys have any questions, if you have anything you want to talk about, email us at askthedumbbells@gmail.com. We'll be doing another questions episode coming up. And then I'm going to do our little closeout. So, Stevie, if you want to join me in it, I'm going to say a bunch of little bullshits, and then I'm going to say train dirty. And then if you want to say eat clean, and
okay,
then I'll
great.
Say
I'll say eat clean.
And then we'll say it together if we can. And if we can't, it's okay.
We might not be able to. We'll find out. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. On behalf of me, Stevie Nelson, Ryan Stenger, wherever you are, woo-woo, we'd like to remind everyone out there listening to train dirty.
Eat clean.
And live in between.
I forgot that part.
It's okay.
Hey, do what you want. Live in between.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.